You're listening to Privacy and Security Insights, brought to you by Picasso. Hello and welcome to Picasso Series 2, Episode 6. I'm Steve Wright, your host for today. I am absolutely delighted to have with us a guest from Allianz Partners Group in Germany, Dr. Gregor Ruto. He is the DPO for Allianz Partners. Good afternoon, good day to you, Gregor. Would you like to introduce yourself to the audience of Picasso?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Steve. We just met recently, and you really made a great impression on me and persuaded me to do this podcast while we were speaking about a different topic. So thanks for having me. I'm the global DPO of Allianz Partners Group. That's a subgroup of Allianz Group. We do business with a lot of high data criticality. The job is challenging. I lead approximately 35 people worldwide. We are 110 legal entities in 40 jurisdictions plus. Today, I want to speak about the privacy operations with you. My background is actually not in data protection. I'm a lawyer originally specialized in Middle Eastern commercial law and was in litigation, company law, and arbitration in the Middle East, leading multiple different litigation teams in sometimes cross-country litigation arbitration proceedings, which, by the way, is an interesting intro to operations in the legal field also, if you've worked in litigation. Outsourcing experience, and for the last 11 years, I've been an employee of Allianz Group. I started as an IT lawyer at Allianz Technology, then went on to contract management, employee data protection law, defended a Berlin fintech against the Berlin regulator for approximately 2 years, and then went to a health fintech of Allianz Group, and now I'm here at Allianz Partners Group for 3 years almost.
Fantastic.
Well, it's been quite a ride.
Well, Gregor, we are absolutely delighted, and you can see why I invited Gregor with his rich experience and knowledge to talk to us today. Today, as Gregor has alluded to, we're looking at privacy operations and how to make data protection scalable. And I think given the backdrop of what you said, 35 people, 110 different legal entities, that's hard work, right? That is hard work when there's just a small number of employees and spread across different countries or entities. That is what we say is herding cats. So could you start by explaining what is, for our listeners, privacy operations? What does it entail, and why is it so essential for organizations to have this in place?
Absolutely. The first thing you have to understand is that even though I'm called global DPO, I'm actually not appointed DPO anywhere in the world. Why is that? Because otherwise I would not be able to do privacy ops and to drive the data protection management system, because I would have a conflict of interest under most data protection laws. 50% plus of my work is aimed at improving, making data protection scalable, fighting the do more with less challenge, yeah, that all in-house departments face, not only in data protection, but everywhere else. That's what privacy ops is really about. It's about making your core and support processes more efficient, but also more effective, to help your board of management to show accountability on behalf of the data controller and towards the shareholders, that you fulfill the obligations of the respective data protection laws, and that you test that in an efficient and effective manner. My first boss used to say at Allianz Technology, a fool with a tool is still a fool. This summarizes it. What I often see is that you get approached by privacy tech providers which have a super fancy tool. Yeah. And because I'm thinking with a privacy ops mind, the first thing that I'm thinking is, how can they help me and with what kind of process? Yeah. Instead of licensing the tool first. The second thought is, even if I like the product, when can I license it? Because at the moment I don't have the budget. That's something we will speak about.
Yes.
It's kind of, how do you keep the clock ticking in-house, and how do you maintain a good health in the marathon of data protection?
Lovely.
Speak about all of that.
So you're full of wonderful little anecdotes here. I love the marathon of data protection. And it is for our listeners. Everyone will be smiling now because they know that the race is more like a marathon than a 10K because it just seems to go on. I like the analogy of the clock ticking. In your paper, you mentioned the importance of evaluating core data protection activities. How can organizations effectively assess and improve the core functionality of privacy operations?
You really have to start with, do I have the right team on board or the right person on board to get into this topic? Because as I said, if you are appointed DPO, looking into privacy ops will most likely create a conflict of interest for you because that's not your job according to your job description. So what you need is either someone to be hired by some other function or by the C-level who works with you. If you're DPO, you have to make sure if you're the function head of a data protection function that you get into the topic and start driving it. You need to get the buy-in from your management to do so. Without the buy-in of the management to do privacy ops, you will get nowhere. And this is where I always say to my peers around me, if you don't get the buy-in for your management to do privacy ops, meaning not the budget to hire someone, it might be a good moment to leave the company because then you know you will not be able to improve much. Yeah. And the company doesn't want you to find the flaws and shortcomings. Ideally, you get that and then you need the budget. We will talk about budget more often in this podcast, but you need the budget if you don't have the knowledge yourself. You have to buy the knowledge by going to seminars or taking the time to study what legal operation and privacy means. Or you can buy yourself the knowledge from consultancies out there.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm glad you said that last bit. Otherwise, I'd be out of a job. I totally agree. And one of the other kind of challenges, so I like that, you know, do you have the right team? What you were alluding to was kind of capabilities and capacity and understanding kind of really what can this team deliver? And what demand could look like. I like the idea of buy-in from senior management. I think that's absolutely crucial because if you don't have a sponsor, if you don't have someone backing you, that can be a problem. And then, of course, the difficult conversation of budget, which is awkward the world over. It doesn't matter who you are, what size of business, right? You're asking for money, basically. So of course, you're going to go, oh yeah, sure. How much, Gregor, would you like? Let me get my check. One of the things that you mentioned in your paper was the importance of cross-functional processes, like procurement, like third party. So InfoSec, legal, they all have a role to play. How do you do that? What's the key processes that you would see that cross-functional? And then how do you get them on board with your privacy ops?
That's the starting point for your due diligence when you start with privacy ops. Yeah, you have to look, okay, what are my core processes? Define it, align it with your team, and then your support processes. Again, there's no right or wrong. You can start with certain support processes. How I always did it is, I work in my DPO activity report that I give to the board of management, or every time I do a pitch for more budget or resources, I work with assumptions, like an IT provider, because I love the way the software development lifecycle works. And that's how I also allude to the marathon, with the continuous improvement lifecycle, you fix bugs, etc. An IT provider, when they develop software for you, they will make certain assumptions. Otherwise, the price will go up. In that case, my budget or my FTE requirements will go up. Yeah. And that's how I work with assumptions. These assumptions are also driven by the support process. If you're a company that has to support 50,000 data processing agreements, conclude them or renew them a year, that will mean that someone in your team or several people in your team will have to be part of that process. You might have to be involved in a contract lifecycle management solution that the company has here with controls for data protection. You might have to plug in a data protection due diligence checklist. You might need a quality assurance team to control if local contract lists match the lists in the procurement tool and the contract lifecycle management tool. So you will see it's a lot about from A to Z thinking. So from privacy engineering, really privacy by design, to actually controlling then later on. You will have a lot of application program interfaces with your data protection function. But you will also have to look into these core support processes to make the life and work-life balance of your own function as easy as possible. There might be some things required from your function that don't make sense. I give you an example. When I started here, we didn't have scoring maturity approach for vendors. That was with automated scoring. Okay. That created massive work because it was not scalable. Now what we do is we make the vendors work. It's easy yes and no questions or I don't know. And we get an automatic scoring like this. We can triage basically
exactly.
The procurement colleagues who we want to look in with more details, where there's a showstopper. If they don't know anything about data protection, that's also a problem and we will look into them. But you need some kind of leeway into the support process to see, okay, where does it hurt? How can I triage? How can I keep my function going?
No, that's really good, because what you're talking about is, in essence, the prioritization. The point that you're making there is you can't do everything. You can't boil the ocean, as we say. You've got to go after the sort of the key risk ones. So by triaging and pushing that out to your vendors, by, like you said, your simple questionnaire, you are eliminating the high risk and low risk ones so that the team can focus on the ones that really will have an impact, especially Absolutely. If they're key to some of those delivery processes for you or for your third parties. So
And what you will see on Stop Talking About Tech and privacy tech, what you will see with the cross-functional processes, you will find so-called office tech, how I call it. That's all not privacy tech, but tools that are already paid for by a different budget that you can leverage. You might be able to use Salesforce. You might be able to use SuccessFactors for the employees to tech your privacy champions in the organization and to track their training. Yeah, you will find out that there are lots of tools that you can use for your privacy function to become more efficient and effective. But you need to know about them and what kind of processes they pertain to in the end of the day.
No, that's brilliant. Listen, we're flying through this. I knew we would. So I'm going to try and expedite. So what about, from a privacy ops kind of perspective, what about technologies like AI and ChatGPT? I mean, obviously that's affecting all industry sectors at the moment, but what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's twofold. So the first one is, of course, you as a second line of defense function with data protection need to help developing the guardrails for such new technologies. Yeah, and then you need to control topic, for instance, like shadow AI, which is its privacy challenges. Yeah, because you monitor the employees, so you have to think about that on the one hand side. On the other side, if I put my privacy ops hat on, you need to check how and where can I leverage AI to become faster, quicker, better in the end. Yep. For instance, if I have agnostic topics before I do a pitch on a certain topic, I will ask ChatGPT, please anticipate critical questions on my pitch and give me answers. You can have generic processes in business process modeling with certain tools once you create your code in ChatGPT or other tools. Usually took hours to get on a PowerPoint slide. You can summarize judgments, you can summarize new laws for legal watch. So there's a lot of different areas that I look into permanently and ongoing to increase the maturity of data protection. It can be as easy and low level as creating data protection memes. With data protection memes, you make things stick and you can create pictures pretty quickly by now with certain tools. So it can be very profound as well.
More fantastic insights there from Gregor. You mentioned, in what ways has the Corporate Legal Operations Consortium's approach influenced your development of your privacy operations that you've been speaking to?
It's been the core beside the auditor framework that we use for data protection to build up privacy ops. I'm a big fan of stealing with pride. When I started looking into legal tech and legal ops, I was still an IT lawyer, and that was in 2014, and the C-Log wasn't that big back then. It was kind of unstructured. The C-Log offers a great agnostic approach in the areas which it covers, the 12 areas, to different topics, and they are agnostic to data protection. For instance, it has a big area for knowledge management, And you can take that area, appoint someone in your team who takes this up, because important, you can never be an expert in all 12 CLOC areas. You can maybe do two or three from my experience. Then you need to drive them, get better, and teach others what that means. For instance, my ones, financial management, organization, optimization, and health, because I'm a leader. So, but you need to distribute the areas. Then you can read on the principles, and then you'll find lots of essays in literature. You have to go down the rabbit hole, but what you'll find is an excellent foundation for starting with privacy ops.
And the CLOC stuff is fascinating, including the DPMA, the Data Protection Maturity Assessment, which I understand you use as a way of benchmarking.
Yes.
And monitoring. And do you want to elaborate on that a little bit for our readers?
So the Data Protection Maturity Assessment is based on a German auditor standard called the IDWPH 9008. It has 12 areas from culture, DPO to third-party country transfers. And it measures and itself, it helps to prove efficiency and effectiveness of your data protection management system. The cool thing about this is if you match it with scoring and maturity levels, you get a really good overarching picture of the maturity of data protection in your company, which you can use to update your board of management. You can use it to optimize your own processes and effectiveness. You can use it to pitch for more resources. For instance, I had this approach introduced. And because of that approach, I built an entire new privacy engineering team, and I built a quality assurance team in data protection because our scores were so rock bottom in these areas, privacy by design, and for controlling data protection, that I used that with the management to pitch for more resource. Yeah, and you can do that out-house or in-house.
No, I like that. And your point about utilizing existing frameworks, tools. In the UK, we have the ICO's accountability framework. It's very onerous. It is death by Excel, but it is a good place to benchmark, and it's free. So it's a great thing. Obviously, there are other standards out there like the NIST and the ISO 27 series, but they cost money every time. And sometimes they're written in a language which isn't English, I don't think. It's very hard to understand and interpret to your environment or the situation you find yourself in. I suppose to summarize, as we're coming to an end, I'm afraid, Birger, would you say in all your years' experience working across different sectors, health tech, fintech, been an IT lawyer, etc., and several years at Allianz, what would you give our listeners the top three things to think about or challenges when it comes to privacy operations and how to make data protection scalable? What three things would you want our listeners to go away with today?
Absolutely. First one, do a proper due diligence and take your time. You won't be able to boil the ocean from the beginning. Then get the buy-in from whoever is your superior, pitch for budget, and build a data protection management system around it to continuously improve and see it as a marathon, as an ever-developing cycle, and don't be afraid to fail forward. Failing forward means you fail fast without getting properly hurt, and you get up and try again, because some of the stuff will not work.
Thank you so much, Birger. We have sadly run out of time. Our podcast series, brought to you by Picasso, is always very, very popular, over 10,000 downloads. We know that our listeners love it. I'm Steve Wright. I want to thank Dr. Gregor Ruto from Allianz Partners for joining us today. Thank you, Gregor. It was fascinating. And I look forward to seeing you in Munich soon. But from all of us here from Picasso in the UK, thank you for listening and have a great day.